Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. It's Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Look, Ebro in the Morning, Laura Stiles, Rosenberg's on vacation. We got Idris Elba, my man Will Packer.
Let's go.
New movie out, Beast. Yeah. Dropping this weekend.
Beast mode, yes.
All right, so now, I did not know, and I'm embarrassed that I don't know, that you guys have worked together on six different films already.
Yeah,
that's six joint.
I'm so tired of carrying this dude, Ebro. Do something without me. You know what I'm saying?
I tell him the same thing. I said to him, make him number one movie without me.
All of yours is number one with him.
Three of
them.
Yeah. Three out of five.
Out of the five that come out so far, three number one. It ain't broke, man.
So now how many action at this point? Like how straight action? Because this Beast is what you would call an action thriller, yes?
It's an action thriller, but my character is not an action star. My character is an ordinary guy, a dad, you know, dad bod. You know, he don't know how to hold a gun. He don't know how to fight lions. That's that. But it is an action thriller in the sense that the action in it is very, very edge of your seat.
I saw the trailer.
Yeah.
I was like, biting my
nails. This is the movie I saw. We went to the premiere. The premiere was just on Monday. The whole audience was screaming.
Crazy.
Well, because it could really happen.
What are you doing? Yeah. Get out of there.
Yeah.
It could really happen. Experience. You know, people go on the safaris and you know what I mean? And what if a giant rhino starts chasing you? And then a lion.
Or those hippos. I heard them hippos ain't playing no games.
They don't play no games. Very dangerous. Yeah. More dangerous than a lion, a hippo.
Yeah.
No. If you go to Africa and a safari, a good one, you're safe. 100% you're safe. In this film, we examine what happens because lions don't act like the lion in our film. I feel a lion is a rogue lion. And basically what happens when poachers come into a territory and they try and get a animal, they basically just, you know, decimate whatever environmental peace was there. So typically, animals, families get split up.
Right, and you're talking about the lion pride and the fact that the lions actually keep an environmental balance just by the nature of how they live.
Exactly. The cycle of life, that ecosystem, delicate balance.
Lion King talk.
Come on,
100%. King of the jungle.
Yeah. Our lion would kick Mufasa's ass, though. I just want to go on record.
Hey, that
just
lion.
Say disrespectful.
I'm just, bro, yo, you ain't seen my bro, you ain't bro, seen bro, his bro, lion yet.
Simba gonna
I love
find you, Sam. You know what I mean? Simba grown now, B. Coming to get you.
But to Driss's point, he's right? They break up these prides, and then the alpha male, they now don't have a pride. The family unit is completely destroyed, and so they end up being rogue lions, nomadic lions, just wandering around without a family. And so our movie examines what happens if one of those lions realizes who the true enemy is, which is man.
So how much of this film, because when I initially saw the trailer, what struck me was I don't know if I have seen a black family action thriller. That's the first thought I had. Like, have I ever seen a survival black family action thriller? I don't think that.
No.
We were trying to figure it out.
Because we don't go, we don't get ourselves into these situations.
Even if you're from Africa, you don't get yourself in these situations.
What do you mean you're getting hugged by a lion? What? How?
So then there was that part. But what I hear you saying right now, there's also a kind of conservationist.
There's definitely some subtext to it. That this is what happens when we disrespect nature. Right. That's what happens, right? And this is true. And I didn't realize how prevalent it was until we got over there. And really, Idris hit me the game because, you know, obviously, you know, having African descent and having shot over there, this was my first time shooting in South Africa. I didn't realize how prevalent the poaching was. Like, they literally go out, they kill everything, and they destroy the whole ecosystem. Mm. And so in our movie, we look at what would happen. And I love you brought it up, Ebro. You don't see a black family doing this, right?
No.
This is literally a black dad, two black daughters, right? Mm-hmm. In the movie, their family is estranged because the matriarch has recently died. Mm-hmm. So their mom has died, his wife, they were separated at the time. The father feels a lot of guilt. The kids, the daughters blame their dad. So they're going through all kind of turmoil before they even get there and got to deal with this lion. So it's usually, you know, the black guy's a supporting guy. And it's the big white actor that's going, come save the day. And the black guy helping him carry the bags. Not this movie. Not with Idris Elba.
Tell us about the two young ladies, the two actresses. Because I just saw them in the trailer and they were fantastic.
They are fantastic. So my daughter, daughters. We became a family. So it's Ayanna Haley, and
Leah Jeffries.
Yeah. And they are both just, you know, incredible professional actors, but just super sweet, man. And, you know, because the film, we went to South Africa in the middle of the, you know, we didn't have no five-star hotels or anything like that. We became a family unit, the crew and the actors. And so the dynamic that my co-stars and I had in the movie is very similar to what it was in real life. You know, they're beautiful, really funny, really sweet girls.
You're going to see a lot from them girls. Like, yeah. They're good. They're really on good. The way up.
Really good.
Yeah.
Talk about this relationship of, and specifically you and I partied together in Ghana, you know, Coachella. If you don't know, big DJ, this Idris Elba, this guy's a big DJ out here. But the dynamic of a black American producer and a black British African actor, right? There's always this kind of talk that has always happened around, like, black British taking black roles in America and et cetera, et cetera. But I always saw it as an opportunity to build the bridge between the diaspora. Mm-hmm. And now you two individuals building a bridge and shooting a movie in South Africa, which is a whole other bridge for you as a black American director.
Yeah. Mm.
Have you even thought about that dynamic or is...
100%. I mean, listen, I'll let Ed just give his perspective on it. But for mine, the thing is, when I'm in those rooms and I'm the only black person in those rooms, they're not making any distinction of whether I'm black American, black Brit. I'm black, right? I'm the only one in those rooms when I'm in there and I'm pitching and getting my finance and doing whatever I'm doing. I'm at a certain level now. I'm blessed. I can come in and I walk in the room different, right?
Green light gang.
You know what I'm saying? But the reality is that I think we have to all work together because this is imagery that's important. You know, people believe what they see. That's and right. So for me, working with, first of all, Driss is the best in the game, period. So anytime I can work with him, that's why he's a frequent collaborator of mine. I'm fortunate he still, you know, when I call, he knows I'm serious about it, and he usually says yes, right?
And I'm still cheap enough to.
Let's put it out there.
It sounds like,
yo, it sounds like you're trying to renegotiate right now for moving up to seven.
Ebro, everything's relative, you know what I'm saying? It's yourself, but cheap ain't our cheap. You know what I mean?
It's a
crazy idea.
No discount.
But I love working with just the most talented people, and it doesn't matter where they're from. And I love the fact that somebody that looks like it just confront a movie like this, big action movie, you know, dealing with the family, his daughters, the black family in peril. I love that. Doesn't matter where he's from. The fact is, can he bring it? Yes, he can bring it. Mm. So that's why I stand on that whole, you know, that debate about black actors.
But also the opportunity for the whole diaspora of us to work together no matter where we're from, I think is a powerful message.
Absolutely.
That's right. We have to find ways to just amplify stories. Period. Stories. It doesn't matter where you're from. We all have to amplify the story. It's like when East Coast hip-hop had the rain and Southern hip-hop was coming. And that's like people saying, oh, you lot can't do hip-hop. You're from the South. You know, that's like telling me as an Englishman, you can't play an American. Mm-hmm. My granddaddy was born in America, fought for this country, Second World War. Does that make me any less American? And by the way, are we not talking about acting?
Right.
It's like the make-believe of I do understand the sensitivities around cultural appropriation, but it doesn't ring the same amongst black people because we all came from one island, one country, one continent. You know what I mean? We came from there. We all come from there. So, yes, everyone has tribal divides. We're slightly different. That's totally noted. But when it comes to our industry, this filmmaking industry, we all have to sing from the same hymn sheet. Otherwise, they just look at us like you lot are crazy.
Well said.
Truth.
I love that. So now, the other interesting thing about this film, too, is the father figure. Black man, father, strong father, patriarch, taking care of his children. Mm. How important was that for you as a black father and you as a black father that in this
film? Yeah, you know, it's funny because Driss and I talked about that because we both not only just black fathers but fathers to black daughters. And that's what this character is. And it's a complex character, right? So make no mistake, the movie goes there. The lion is bad as hell. Like, it's definitely edge-of-your-seat thriller. But it does have some complexities because when you look at it, it is about a father who is having a difficult relationship. He's going through trauma with his family, but he's present. He's there. He's not doing everything right, but he's trying to connect with his daughters in a way that he hasn't, and he's having to deal with that, and then he's dropped into this existential crisis, you know what I mean? And so to me, to have a black father play that role and to have that level of complexity is important. I love it. And there's some parallels between Idris's character and the beast, right? Because this lion is really in self-preservation mode. Right. He really
lost
is.
His family.
He has lost his family. Idris's character, Nate, is in self-preservation mode. He's trying to protect mm-hmm. what is his lion. Family. This lion's trying to protect his territory. You know what I mean?
Talk about it.
It's true, though, man. But and also, for me as an actor, you know, it's just finding that nuance, all right? Because right. obviously we want to see black man as fathers in a heroic way. But what you don't, what we're wary of seeing is seeing a black man show fear. Mm. We don't want to see ourselves looking scared. Right. But in this instance, you know, the reality is this is beyond, you know, machismo. You know, you,
right.
your daughter's in the middle of nowhere and something's out there as a threat. You know what I mean? So for me as an actor, there was a real challenge trying to understand how to nuance that. So it does become attractive for the audience to watch and feel him. At the same time, it's realistic.
Yeah.
You ain't fighting a lion. Right. You're going to survive if you can.
Right.
You know, and that was a nuance. And Will and I spoke about it a lot. Baltazar, our director, he's Icelandic. Mm. And we had to take some educative journeys with him for him to understand, no, she wouldn't say that in this movie, or right. he wouldn't do that in this movie. You know, and we had to try and avoid some tropes because even, you know, he's a father as well, but he didn't understand the sort of black cultural. Kind of, yeah.
yeah.
You know, so there was some, you know,
real conversation. We wanted to get the nuance. And I'm going to give it just, he was very sensitive about making sure that the nuance was right. Because we put it out there, I want audiences to come in and be like, okay, that was real. That was like what would be said at this time, what would happen. So you're going to see it and you're going to feel. It's a movie that's for everybody, right? It's inclusive. It's not exclusive. You don't have to be black to come in and get the dynamic, but it's very authentic. That's what I try to do with all my projects. Even, like, look at Girls Trip, right?
Right.
Those happen to be, you know, four black women. But anybody could come in. The reason it did what it did was because you had, you know, people of all stripes, ethnicities come in and say, yo, I got the dynamic. It was real. It was authentic. The relationships worked. Mm. Same thing here. It happens to be a black father, happens to have two black daughters. That dynamic is real and very specific to that culture. However, it's relatable. It's a universal
right.
thing.
Right, right, right.
That fear as fathers, you know, and as professionals, right? I find myself talking, you know, on the air on our show sometimes just about encouraging black men to show up, right? Encouraging black men, no matter how embarrassed you are of your failures as a man, are you showing up for the people who just need your masculine energy, right? You may not have anything else other than that.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be embarrassed because that's all that you have.
Mm.
But reinforcing that it's okay to show fear.
Yeah. To contribute,
And to show up. And let people know, look, I'm in a bad space, but I love y'all and I want to be here. Because when we think about the, I guess we brought up tropes, and you think about the trope of black fathers not being there for their families, right? And this stereotype. And you think of a lot of us, you know, friends that I have that grew up without their fathers because maybe their father had addiction or ran off because of whatever he was dealing with, right? A lot of that is based in embarrassment, not being able to show up the way that you think you're supposed to, and black men kind of running away from their responsibility. You as black fathers and talking about the black father role in this film, I would love, I mean, you guys are who you are, right? But you're still human beings and you're fathers. Talk about that in your role as an actor, as a career man, and just making sure that you show up for your wife, your family, your extended family, and and the days that I'm sure it's not easy every day.
No, listen, man. I mean, you know, my industry is no different. It's if I was the only black person working at Best Buy. You know what I mean? I still have to represent. You know, I still have to show. Where I'm from, my culture needs to represent. So whether it's there in that work environment or being in a, you know, a world stage where you are a public figure, you still have to show up. For me, as an actor, there is a huge responsibility. You know, I don't want to be the guy that people go, yo, love his career, supported him, and then do something stupid out of fear. Out of fear for not wanting to look embarrassed, for not wanting to show up. I think it's important that I do show vulnerability as a man, as a black man celebrated in this industry. There has to be vulnerabilities around me. And that's where honesty comes in. You know, that's where leadership and, you know, being able to sort of mentor comes in. Because for me, it's always good to, like, leave crumbs behind for those coming in, you know, because I might not be able to show up every time, but at least I'm showing you that you can.
Right.
You know what I mean? And there's a lot of pressure on celebrity or people in higher places, or if you're the only person, black person showing your culture, there's a lot of pressure around that. You're a human being. You can't take it.
But how do you unpack that or deal with that? Do you go to therapy? Do you just, is it your family? And like, how are you?
It's balance.
Yeah.
It's 100% balance. You know what I'm saying? Like, I do not live, people describe me as humble. It's just because I don't want to live in the clouds. I wasn't born in the clouds. I was born right here on the earth. So just because, you know, certain parts of my job elevate me,
right,
I can't live up there. But, you know, you're having that balance going back and forth. Therapy is always good. And yeah, therapy doesn't just mean going sitting in front of therapy. You've got a barber, you know what I mean? You go play ball with someone, you go to the gym, man. Speak, open up. And if you're not speaking, listen, because somebody wants to tell you something. Mm-hmm. And sometimes just being a good ear is great therapy just for you, because you get to hear someone else, how they're dealing with something or not dealing with something. It makes you think about yourself. So definitely having that balance, having that outlet to say stuff, you know what I mean? Get stuff off your chest. And like you said, man, it's like not, we overprocess it. You know, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. Do you know what I'm saying? We do. We kind of, you know, in this day and age, we have the window to the world in our hand and we're looking at everyone else, how they're dealing with stuff.
Mm.
We put a lot of pressure on ourselves. We have to try and alleviate that. Mm. You know what I mean? It's important.
Same question for you, Will. Just the spotlight being on.
Yeah.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
And the pressure of rising to the occasion as a black man.
I mean, listen, I just said a word right there. You have to be, it's okay to admit, and so did you. You tapped it off. It's okay to admit your vulnerabilities. And for us to be three black men, like successful high-profile black men saying that, that wasn't happening 5-10 years ago. Mm. You know what I mean? It's okay. It's absolutely okay. I got days, you know, people come and they, you know, they say, oh my God, Idris Elba's up there, the new movie, the red carpet, blah, blah, blah. It's not always like that. You know what I mean? This man got tough days. I got tough days. You got tough days. And it's okay to say that, because we're human. When you try to put on that armor and do it for social media and everybody's looking and try to act like, you know what, everything is all good, I think that's where you start to really damage your mental health. That's where you really start to start, you know, dying from the inside out. You know what I mean? And I think that's bad. And I know I've had people in my life that have, that frankly have committed suicide. You know what I mean? Mm. Over the past 3 months, I've lost some people. And it's tough. And I was at this funeral and the preacher said, you know what? Give yourself, be kind to yourself. Give yourself grace. It's okay for you to fail, right? And we all say, check on your strong friends. And the reality is that the strong friend is the person that we always say, oh, you know who you should talk to? Talk to Ebro. He'll be good. He knows how to handle this, right? But who's Ebro talking to? Because everybody's dumping it on Ebro's shoulders or Idris' shoulders or Will Packer's shoulders with that perception. And we can't be the one to be like, yo, I'm down right now. Because I'm like, what, Ebro? Right. Driss, you? You know? But we got to be able to say that just to survive. And that's something that's a real conversation that I think amongst black men especially, right? We love our sisters. We love women of all stripes. But black men specifically have a different kind of pressure and a different kind of societal expectation than anybody else on the planet. We got to be real.
It's just what Driss said. Even the fact that you say you have an obligation, right? Like that is very unique in many ways to a black man, that you have an obligation not only to your family and your immediate family, but anyone that looks like you, you have an obligation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that pressure is, that's being able to deal with that is for many people to make or break. That's the crack.
And by the way, you know, it's my choice to take this obligation. You know, there are many people in high profiles that, like, I do not feel obliged to have to act a certain way because I'm high profile. I get that, respect that. Kudos to you. But for me, where I know that actually I can contribute to someone's journey just by acting a certain way. You know, young actors that look at me, I want them to know that when I go to work, I work really hard. I show up on time. I know my words. Why? Because I hope that steers what you do when you go to work, because it's important. Mm-hmm. I remember a time when there was about 7 of us in the UK, and now there's hundreds of great actors coming out of the UK. And I don't say it's mine. I'm just saying I hope I contributed to the fact that if you work hard, you're going to do really good in this business or in any business. You know what I mean?
The roles that you played, Idris, and the movies that you've done, Will, how much freedom do you guys have in this moment in your career? And have you been able to stop and really go like, hey, we doing some shit right now? Like, because a lot of people at your success level don't really, I don't know if they get to stop and go, yo,
nah,
we got this right now. And that, and in some regards, that helps you manage the future, right? Like what you do want to do, what you don't want to do. You know what I mean? Like now you're at that space where you get to, we ain't doing that.
You turn it out a lot right now, Driss. Huh? I think, you know, you turn, you. I mean, you know, you could do, am I wrong? Could you pretty much do any role, right, that you would like to, and you don't have to do anything that you don't want to? I think you're very discerning when it comes to your roles. Is that a true statement?
I think you're right on that. I think I've gotten to a stage where, you know, I can choose what to do. But it's not about what to do, it's who to do it with. You know what I mean? Like, you spend a lot of time on a film, a lot of real estate, a lot of your life you give over. It's like, you know, months. And I'm at a junction where you have to be the right energy. You have to be the right synergy for me to work. It's like better. I can always work with Will, no matter what. This movie for us was very challenging. It's outside of our remit. This is a black action thriller that involves a lion. We haven't done that. We've done, you know, human catastrophe stories, all right? So here we are in the set, and I'm looking at him like, yo, you ready to take this to the next? And that's a connection that I yearn for on a set every day. If I don't have that, it's a waste of my time. And so it's beautiful to be in a position where my career affords me to sort of like choose, but I really need to spend the right amount of time and the right, you know, ingredients to get into a film now. You know, I want to direct. I've gotten to a stage where some directors have less experience than me, but yet they're directing a movie. And, you know, that's, you know, something I want to shift in my own journey. So,
and you will, you, what are you, how is the work coming to you? How much is people just pitching you scripts and you being like, no, that's not where we're at. We're over here. Like, what is it?
All of that. It's definitely, I'm at a place now where I can be selective, right? As a producer, it's different than an actor because I want a broad swath of things that I can do. This is huge. I love this movie because this is different. I've wanted to do something in this genre, right? Want to do that, like, survival thriller, man versus beast, you know, like, I've wanted to do this. My first joint, doing it with my guy, like, I'm ready. I'm excited about it, right? Same time, you know, right now we got like 5 projects shooting, you know what I mean, right, around the country. So I'm very proud of myself and my team for where we are. We've worked so hard to get to this place, but it is about who you work with. When you work this hard to get to this level in the industry, it's too hard, it's too much work to do, and life is way too damn short to do it with people that ain't worth doing it with. You know what I mean? So I will echo that what Idris said. You want to work with the people that you know gonna work as hard as you, gonna bust their ass like you bust yours, and you know got your back. It's a trust, because you know this game is this game, right? It don't love you. It's never gonna love you. So you gotta love yourself and then work with people who you can trust and who you love.
Being so protective of that energy, though, how often do you take a chance on new talent?
Well, I do. I mean, because, you know,
because that's, like, a gamble.
It is.
It is. But it's worth it. You know,
right.
New talent tends not to be jaded.
Right. So you can help them be
so
great.
You can help, yeah. You know, they might come in with personality quirks and you'll be like, well, it's your personality. But new talent tends to want to impress. And, you know, in this case, with the young actors in our film, they were incredibly, like, professional. And they're accomplished. But they get to work with Will Packer. And, you know, so we become a beacon. But to your point, you know, you can't control that. You might work with someone, they end up being a dickhead. And you're like, okay.
Let me tell you, what Idris is not saying is that when you work with new actors that's still hungry in the game, they coming in, right? They showed up on time. They ready. They trying to impress, right? It's a certain level of actor out there that have been at it as long as Idris Elba. But they not at Idris Elba level. They mad. I'm just going to tell you. They mad. And if you bring that mad negative energy to set, people don't want to work with you. That's all I'm going
to
say. So
that goes to the Funk Flex classic phrase of who you mad at.
Right? Right.
Me or yourself.
Or yourself.
You know what I'm saying?
Tough. It's a tough. So yeah. I'm not judging anybody, but you're right. Why are you bringing that negative energy? You know what I mean? Because that negativity begets more negativity.
That's right.
So.
Yeah. Now, so you're like a Priceline. What is Priceline now? What's the commercial you're in?
Booking.com.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I didn't put a voice on anything.
No money.
Please get that right.
Yo,
bro.
I'm
putting
that up. My bad. Edit. We're going to have to edit this. Booking.com. I was so happy for you to see that, man.
Really? Okay.
I mean, you're like, you showing up in white families' homes, telling them how to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, yo, look at this brother.
Vacation.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's a big
deal. Wait,
you don't know that that's a big deal?
It is a big deal because, you know, first of all, it started off as a Super Bowl commercial, and that relationship kept going. So it's great. I mean, it's great. It's a very, very fortunate thing to do. But at the same time, people need to get out, man. We need to travel more.
No, for sure. I think that's the other part that's a big deal is, there is a... Look, black folks only, let me not say only, many black people only travel places when they know somebody on the other end of the destination.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Or go places where they know, oh, okay, it's other black folks here. I'm going to go and I know I ain't going to deal with no bullshit.
Mm.
Right? And so now the whole black travel thing, like there's people who,
it's a thing.
Black women, especially I see traveling to locations around the globe you know what I'm saying? And even Americans in general, I think, what is it, like only 35% of Americans even have a passport.
It's so important. And I don't think people understand how it's not as expensive as you think. You know what I mean? Because if you grow up fairly poor, you feel like it's unattainable. You know what I mean? I remember traveling with my dad at a very young age, and it was like the bus, you know what I mean, with goats in the middle of Mexico. And he was like, we're going to travel. We're not going to travel like they travel, but we're going to do it. But it changed my life.
Yeah.
And I always pushed other women to seek out there. There's so many opportunities. There's so many programs. You can go through education programs. What you spend on a purse.
Yeah.
What you spend on a purse.
It's about how you choose to spend your resources.
For people
of culture, though, travel was never, for people of color, travel was never part of our culture, really, generationally. That's the thing that I want to see us do more, right?
Yeah.
I travel a lot. I'm very, very blessed. I will tell you, when I go to certain places, I don't see a lot of people of color. A lot of us. I see a lot of white folks that are not rich. I'm just going to tell you. They figure it out. They're like, this is the vacation budget for the year. We're going. They'll get a little Airbnb. There's a one bedroom, a studio, whatever. But they out there. They on the beach. They seeing stuff. I would love for us to do more of that.
Right.
So that, in addition to that big old check, is why I'm happy that my brother is doing the booking joint. You know what I'm saying?
Booking.com.
it's not a charity 100. Gig, Ebro, you know.
I'm very clear.
The
frequency at which I see the commercial,
exactly.
I know.
Exactly. Every time you see it, cha-ching.
Well, back to the movie. Did you have to deal with real lions and lion tamers, or is it all special effects? Like,
that's a good question.
I'm not getting close to any lion, no matter how trained it is. So tell us how that worked.
Yeah. So the lion itself in the movie that you see is computer generated.
Okay, it's computer generated lion. Okay,
everything else is real. Like, we went to South Africa, amazing landscapes and backdrops, vistas. I mean, literally, it's like the Pride Lands in Lion King. Like, that's how I would describe it to people. Like, as far as I can see.
Now, where exactly is it? To South Africa?
In South Africa, a region called Limpopo.
Yep.
So I want to be very accurate about it, get it right. So this is like, people have heard of Cape Town, Johannesburg. Those are two major cities. We were probably 5 hours away from Johannesburg.
Wow, okay.
Deep in the bush in Africa. There was an actual real lion that we use for reference because it takes hours and hours. And the folks that work with the VFX team are painstaking in the way they pay attention to detail. So this lion is so, everything from his eyes to his teeth to his claws to the way his fur moves when the wind blows or the light hits it, very accurate, very specific.
It's called photorealistic.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. And so we would have at certain times, an actual lion just for reference. But you can't shoot a movie like this and be humane to a lion and have him doing all the stuff this lion's doing. It wouldn't be safe for Idris or for the lion. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the lion's computer generated, but it's done very, very well.
And when that lion was on set, Nobody was on set. No, no, seriously. Yeah. Nobody was on set. Just the photographer.
Nobody move.
Nobody move.
Lie on there.
They're not having that. They're not having that. But it was safe, you know. And when you see the film, like, you have to really rub your eyes and be like, is that not real? That thing so is good. Incredible. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. You should win an Oscar.
Yeah. I see what I did. Yo, you repping the home, Nigeria today. You got the colors on.
So, yes, I have the colors. Actually, I'm from Sierra Leone. It's the red, it's the green, the white, and the blue.
Got it.
But I did do my 23andMe thing, DNA. I do have 10% Nigerian in me. Brap, just putting that out there.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, I'm on the colors, man. I'm on the colors.
Super Eagles. Black Stars. What about the
Black Stars? That's the Ghanaian.
That's Ghana. That's
Super
my
Eagles,
squad.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you Ghanaian.
No, I've gone in. Okay. I just, you know, I'll go there.
Okay.
I like it there.
You like it there? I like it there. I'm
they
half
gave,
Ghanaian.
They gave me a name. I was born on Monday. They gave me Kojo.
Kojo.
Yeah.
My middle name is Akuna.
There you
which
go.
Is Wednesday.
Yeah. But actually, Shani and I, we actually from the same. We did our African Ancestry.com.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually Cameroon Takar tribe.
Get out.
Yeah. Wow. Both of us.
Really?
Yeah. It's crazy. They told us we was related somewhere. He's like, what?
Now every December you go. Do you still do trips to Africa? You go different places though, and you DJ parties. You throw events.
I try.
You
yeah. stuff. I get to Africa quite a bit. So my parents are from Sierra Leone and Ghana. I saw you in Ghana. We had like you know Ghana. Ghana is doing a really good job of trying to get people to come back, especially African Americans, to come to Ghana, visit, see the point of no return, which is where. You know, a lot of the slaves left from. And it's a beautiful 2 weeks or a week.
Yeah.
You know, celebrations on the beach, there's parties. And me and Ebro was there one time. And last year I was in Sierra Leone. Or 2 years ago I was in Sierra Leone. You know, slightly different. It's smaller, poorer country. But, you know, they get down.
They get down.
Yeah, man.
So listen, man, get your AfricanAncestry.com done.
For sure.
I love the trailer so far. I have not seen the flick yet, The Beast. Is something I could take my 8-year-old to, or it's a little too aggressive?
It's intense.
It is intense.
It's intense. I'm not going to lie to you.
She's a Leo, so she going to like the lion part. She in the lions, right? You know, she a Leo. She just turned 8 years old. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
It's a parental decision, but it's just...
It's PG-13 or it's R?
It's an R-rated movie.
Oh, no, we're not doing that.
But it's not like heavy, heavy gore. It's very... suspenseful. It's talked is the word that we use in the industry.
Got it.
Mm. It's an edge of your seat thriller.
But it is, especially if you got older kids, 10, 11, 12,
oh,
the
they
teenagers.
Gonna eat it up. They're going to love it. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
There you go. Yeah. Will Packer, Idris Elba. I love you, brothers, man.
Love
congratulations
you
on all your success. Give it up for time.
Thank you, man.
Check Beast at the box office.
Yes.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.